I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Really happy to be joined now by Barry Connell of the Newburyport City Council, former City Council President, now serving his ninth term up in the great city of Newburyport. And Barry, welcome back to MSO.
Thanks, Rick. And it is a great city. I enjoy it.
Oh, I love the North Shore. My wife works up in Newburyport. I love going up there. I want to see an eagle, though. Have you ever seen any eagles in the area?
Many.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, last at the end of the summer, I was down near the water's edge behind the American Yacht Club, and I was fussing around with the little boat that I have, and I just looked up, and then just on a branch over the clubhouse was an eagle watching me. And I thought, I'm a little bit big for a meal, but I wonder what time.
Yeah, really.
It was an impressive bird, yeah.
He might have been wondering if you had any takeout with you. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm still looking for one. My wife has seen them on the way to work up there on Old Route 1, but
we see them quite often.
I'm still looking. All right, let's get down to business, Barry. We talk with the mayor from time to time, been a while since we've caught up with our news up in Newburyport. Of course, we cover sports up there, but I think the place to start would be the response that Newburyport has had to COVID, because now we're pushing almost 1 year. It's been very difficult. Yeah. We've got the rollback now on the one hand, but on the other hand, I think people are beginning to become optimistic with the vaccine rolling out today. So give me a little bit of an idea of your view of how things are going.
Well, it's been a struggle for many reasons, and for particular individuals more than others. You know, Newburyport is a destination town for a lot of people. They come up, they like to go to the Firehouse Center to catch a show, they like the restaurants, particularly the restaurants over the water and the bars and the shopping. And the COVID pandemic has really put a damper on what is available for our guests and on the income that our shopkeepers and restaurant owners bring in. I just got a message the other day from the Firehouse Center. They are $500,000 in the red this year. And for a small community theater, that's a big hit. So what we've done is give restaurants access to public spaces. We've bumped a lane on the main streets, on Main Street, State Street and Pleasant Street, the main drags where the restaurants and clubs and bars are. We've bumped them out a little bit and created with some barriers an outdoor seating space for them, which is on public property, and we said, okay, here's a way we can help you out. We've also given some other businesses, such as gyms and the like, the opportunity to use our public parks for outdoor exercise and outdoor workouts, and you know, a few things like that have helped take the edge off the pandemic in terms of what's going on downtown. I'm still surprised, frankly, that so many people are going out to restaurants, and I'm not sure. You know, I do takeout, but I'm not going to sit down at a restaurant.
Right, yet. Right. Well, it's funny. We've gone back and forth, and we pretty much have gone out once or twice a month. And the places that we go, we pick and choose, and we have to be comfortable there, and we watch how they clean and so on, and the atmosphere. Yeah. And you know, I get that, but we've done the takeout to try to support the restaurants. Plus, when it's my night to cook, I don't know how to cook, so then we do takeout. You know, that's automatic. One of the things that I'm curious about is, as a city councilor, you know, during your tenure, a lot of times I'm guessing you could be at a coffee shop, you could be walking downtown, you could be at the grocery store, whatever, and someone might pull you aside and say, "Counselor, I need to talk to you about this, that, or the other thing."
All the time.
How do they do it now?
Well, I do all the cooking in our household, so I do all the food shopping.
Okay.
And it takes me an hour just to get down the aisle in the market basket pushing my grocery cart.
Yep.
And we're all hiding behind masks, but somehow, this puzzled me. They immediately recognize you and stop, and they still give you some feedback. And frankly, most people are less concerned with, what's going on in the city. And city government than they are with their own safety and keeping their family fed and watered and moving in a positive direction. And I get that. Boy, it's a difficult time. But, you know, I look at these masks, and cowboy shows, cowboy movies always had a bandana across their face, and they'd never be able to see who that was.
Right.
Well, people can walk down the aisle at the market basket.
Yep.
Hey,
that's true.
There.
And that's right.
Well, were cowboys stupid? Or what?
I know. Or is that just some kind of a TV thing? I don't know. But yeah. I get that. And it's amazing how that has worked, and that's a continuum. One of the things I notice, I think, with all of our municipalities on the North Shore is the city websites have been fantastic in getting out information to the public from the health department, and the mayors have been supportive of that. And I'm sure city council, the same thing. It's been, because you talked about how people are concerned about their own safety, and I think that's one way that Newburyport certainly has helped with that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, you mentioned the internet. The internet is, boy, if we didn't realize the value, you've got to acknowledge it now. You know, people work from home largely on the internet if they have a job that doesn't require physical activity at a place where they work, and that's a great boon. And likewise, in terms of reaching out to people, there's a bit of a shift. We always had a website where people can go and get information, and we've expanded that, but we've also tried to be a little more affirmative and say, not just wait for them to come to us, but if there's a notice, we're doing feeds out, you know, blog blasts and that sort of thing, email blasts to tell people about things that are going on or things that we need some feedback on. And so we've done a little more outreach electronically than we did before. And I think it sounds like a minor thing, but it does keep people in touch with what's happening and gives us some feedback that we need in order to make good decisions.
I think when you check the boxes after this thing is all over, that's going to be on the plus side. The fact that
I think so too.
We do have more communication, which is really, it's almost counterintuitive, but
my son and his wife with our exquisite 2-year-old granddaughter came up this summer and stayed for a month because they could both work during the day, and we'd take care of little Sloan and have a great time with her all day. And, it was only possible because of the internet and the electronic communications that were available to them. Their employers have no idea where they are. And frankly, probably don't care as long as they're producing what they have to produce in order to, keep their businesses alive and thriving.
I talked with a friend who's employed on State Street in Boston, and he's working from home. Sometimes he has to go to an office. I don't know if it's in Waltham or someplace, but I was curious about how relatively little traffic there is now. And he was saying that his bosses are saying, we might not ever want you to come back to the office because we're saving money this way. So
I think that's a decision some businesses are going to have to make once we get past all this.
And it's coming. We're going to get past it. You and Josh Arnold talk on this program on MSO News Sports frequently about the Merrimack River, and I've had conversations with the Amesbury mayor and with Mayor Holliday. Before we get to my next question, let me start there. Is there any improvement on what's going on with the whole river thing from coming up from up north?
Well, there are a couple of things that are happening, but others that have to happen that are going to take a longer time. We've got a system of notices going out whenever there's a discharge of stormwater, and unfortunately upriver, the communities upriver who haven't upgraded their sewer systems, it's a mixture of stormwater and sewage that goes into the river. We have a notice system that goes out electronically to people, but also a flag system. So if you're at the head of the harbor and you see a red flag, that means it's in an area where, or it's at a time when there has been a discharge upriver, and you can decide whether to, get in direct contact with the river or not. Now, that's an extremely cautious way to behave, and I have to say, we have no evidence whatsoever that there have been any health impacts of these discharges, because over the years, there's so much dilution, and the surge of tidal water up and down and up and up. There's such a turnover of the water. You might get a slug of sewage that's dumped in Manchester, New Hampshire, for example, or Lowell. Well, not Lowell so much, because they really do a great job up there. But Lawrence, Haverhill have some troubles at times.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time it reaches Newburyport, it's almost, I wouldn't say it's undetectable, but it's certainly not going to have a health impact. And nonetheless, you know, we want to cleanse that water, and that's the longer term problem. That these sewer treatment plants upriver from us, you know, really have to upgrade their systems and do a better job with their combined storm and sewage overflow problems. And it's expensive. You know, we did it in the mid-1980s. Amesbury did as well. And, you know, with some coaxing, all these other communities have to make those changes. But it's expensive, and they're going to require federal help. That's why we're working across the border with the congressional delegation in New Hampshire and in Massachusetts to get the money that they need to do these upgrades.
Good. I'm glad to hear that that is progressing. The city put out an announcement about a week ago concerning the wastewater treatment facility protection and Clipper City Rail Trail construction project. What's that all about?
Well, two things, and they happen to converge at the same place. We have a rail trail system. There used to be a coal train that ran up the coast, came into Newburyport in the south end of the city, ran along the waterfront to what was known as the coal packets, or the coal pockets, rather, on our central waterfront, which no longer exist. But that right-of-way, we've been converting into a rail trail. We did one in the north side of the city, and now we're doing one on the south side of the city that links to the north side's trail out by the traffic circle on Route 1. And, by the way, it's a fabulous walk or ride. The views out at that point there as you make the turn inland across the Joppa Flats toward Plum Island are beautiful.
Oh, definitely, yep.
So in addition to that, I sat on a committee that looked at our vulnerabilities regarding climate change, you know, to storm surge. You know, if we had a Hurricane Sandy make its way this far up the coast, what would the impacts be? And or something even less intense as Hurricane Sandy. What kind of impact might there be, and what do we have to protect? And our sewer treatment plant, which we just spent $32 million to upgrade over the past 5 years, is right there on the banks of the river. And when we did the upgrade, I wondered, you know, should we perhaps move it to a less vulnerable location? And the numbers were crazy. We'd have to reroute all the sewer lines. It was going to cost us in excess of $90 million. We couldn't afford it. So what we're doing instead is building a berm, kind of creating like a barrier against a storm surge that's going to be high enough, we believe, to protect the plant from being flooded during a 100-year storm. And the definition of a 100-year storm now is different from what it was.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's hard to predict. But it's going to be expensive. It's going to cost us about $8 million. We think it's money well spent to protect the tens of millions we have invested in this plant.
Well, now, in another project or possible project that's going on, there's been some off-and-on talk about the youth services building in the town. Can you bring me up to date on that one?
Mm-hmm. Sure. 5 or 6 years ago, we started an after-school program and bulked up our youth services for kids that, particularly after school, might be going home to an empty house. And for obvious reasons, I like to quote the music man, the musical, the idle mind is the devil's playground. You know, left to their own devices, kids are gonna, you know, get themselves in trouble. So these after-school programs have been great at providing kids something constructive to do. They can do get some tutoring, they can do their homework, they can exercise, they can play games, they can socialize safely with their pals at what was the old Brown School in the South End, the old elementary school. It's an old building, three-story building, brick building, very expensive to heat, very leaky, you know, 1920s building.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, you know, since we're only using a third of that building, is that the best use? Some people, myself included, believe that we should move youth services down to Low Street, directly across from the middle school, where most of these kids are coming out of school to go to to youth services after school.
Mm-hmm.
It's right across the street. It's an old building owned by the National Guard. And they're selling it to us for $220,000. It's a steal. Now, we'd have to upgrade it. We'd have to convert it. We'd have to do some things to it. But I think it's a much better option for us from a service perspective. And ultimately, you know, we're spending $60,000-$70,000 a year just to heat a building we only use a third of in the South End at the old Brown School. Having a building that is closer and is more energy efficient directly across from the school seems to me like a better option. And then I could convert the Brown School into housing or some, put it to some other use.
What's next? What's the next step in that process? Is it ongoing? Is it on the agenda?
Well, it is. As a matter of fact, tonight's city council meeting, Monday night, we're going to take up the purchase and sale with the state to acquire the Low Street property. Now, if, you know, in this negotiation, some people think the Brown School is the better location. It does have a gym attached to it. If they don't like the idea, or we can't sell the public on the idea of converting the old armory site to the old National Guard site to youth services, we would still put our parks department in there, because parks is kind of a, you know, cut their vehicles parked all over the place in different garages, wedged into places, or sometimes just exposed to the elements because there's no home for them. So we got a couple of options there, and the purchase itself is up for grabs tonight.
All righty. And speaking of the Internet and all that other stuff, how do people attend the city council meetings?
Zoom.
Zoom. All right.
Zoom everything. I never thought that I would become so familiar with and comfortable, frankly, with Zoom meetings. You know, we don't meet face-to-face, and there's something lost in that. But we do meet face-to-face via Zoom on our computer screens. You know, I don't think that substantively it makes a huge difference, but I do think that there are times when meeting people face-to-face and having a direct conversation is better than having a chain, one person at a time speaking in a long chain on a particular topic through your computers. But we're getting through it.
We are getting through it. And thank you for helping us get through it. That's Barry Connell, who is the city council, former city council president now, a city councilor in his ninth term up in the city of Newburyport. With MSO News.
I always say, you know, yep. What were the voters thinking? Nine terms? I shake my head, right?
You got to keep at it. You got to keep at it.
I've truly enjoyed it. Now that I'm retired, I have more time to spend on council matters, and I hope that I'm doing the job as such a good satisfaction.
This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. By the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.